We are in 1 John chapter 2, and last couple of weeks, we did like one verse each week. Now we are going through quite a few verses. So what I wanted to talk about this morning is how do you know, okay? How do you, really what the question here is, you know, saved, right? How do you know that you're saved? A follower of Christ. Is there for you in your life? So the point here is not how anyone else knows that you're saved, but how do you know that you're saved? It's such an important thing sometimes that we have to think about. It is a healthy thing sometimes to go through kind of the checklist. Okay, do I believe this? Do I believe that? Am I living according to God's will? Now, none of these things we're going to talk today make you saved. These are things that should occur after you are saved, though. And so these are good tests for us. And that's kind of the purpose of what John is talking about here in chapter 2. He wants us to examine ourselves and see if we really are following Christ in our lives. Let's go ahead and turn to 1 John chapter 2. And we're going to start off by, we're just reading the whole passage here, verses 3 through 11. It says, now by this we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. Who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. Brethren, I write no new commandment to you, but an old commandment which you have heard from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write to you. This thing is true in him and in you because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. He who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. He who loves his brother abides in the light. There is no cause for stumbling in him. But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and doesn't know where he is going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. Those are pretty strong words from John there about being to be a Christian. Right? So if you say that you're a Christian, your life really doesn't match up. So how do we know that we know? So the first part of this, so there's really two parts to this passage here. There's kind of where he talks about the old commandment, so the first part of the passage, and then there's the new commandment. First one, by how you walk. So how do you know that you know Jesus? Well, by how you walk, how you live your life. So the first thing he talks about here is keeping his commandments. And so he's talking about like the Ten Commandments, the Old Testament. When he says keeping his commandments, he's talking literally about the commandments of Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus Christ gives a few commandments during his time here on earth, but we need to be keeping the things literally told us to do. So let's go ahead and read verses 3 through 4 again, just for a moment here. Now, by this we know that we know him. We keep his commandments. He who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments, is a liar. So if you say you know Jesus, right, but you're not doing the things that Jesus told you to do, John says you're a liar, right? And the truth is in you. And so, now the reality is that we're all sinners and we all need forgiveness all the time, right? But we should be trying to fulfill the things that Jesus told us to do. One of the things, you know, the Great Commission. Holy ordinances that he told us to do, right? Baptism, the Lord's Supper. Ordinances are commands, right? There's other things. Love and love your neighbor. We're going to talk about these things some more. Jesus says a commandment, which is to love the brethren as well. And so we need to make sure that we're doing the things that Jesus literally told us to do in Scripture. We can see these throughout the New Testament. Next one here is keeping his word. You might be like, well, isn't that the same thing? Sort of. Sort of no. Right? So keeping his word in keeping his commandments as well. And so that it's not just the things that he told us to do, but it's all teachings, right? So 1 John chapter 2, verse 5. John switches here from just the commandments to his word. It says, but whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. So it's pretty interesting there that he switches from commandments. So he's like, hey, this is, you know that you're a Christian. It's broader than doing the literal things that Jesus told you to do, right? If we think about it, right, the Jews in the Old Testament and at the time of Jesus, they were very focused on just fulfilling the letter of the law, right? Doing all of these teachings and sacrifices and all of these things, but they weren't really keeping those teachings there. They weren't really living the way God wanted them to live. Yeah, sure, they were doing all of the letter of the law stuff, but they weren't living out in their lives. And so we need to do more than just what Jesus literally told us to do. All of the teachings that Jesus had amount to much more than just those commandments. There's a lot of parables there. There's a lot of lessons that Jesus gives that we need to also keep. And so that's what it's talking about when it says his word, right? So that's all of his teachings there. It's also interesting here that it says, truly the love of God is perfected in him. So it says the love of God, right? This is agape love. So this is charity. It's referred to as charity in other places in the Bible. This is the love. It's interesting that it talks about this here because when we see the love of God in the Bible, it's pretty perfect. God's love is perfect. So what does it mean when it's saying that truly the love of God is perfected in you? Well, it's kind of tricky, but when you look at it in the Greek, it's really talking about that love of God is perfecting you. It's making you perfect. It's making you complete, right? That's what perfected means, complete here. This is actually a very similar scripture to 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. It says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Man of God be complete, same Greek word there, thoroughly equipped for every good work. And so when it says all scripture is given by inspiration of God, it's talking about, that's the word there. That's all the teachings. What is it useful for? It's useful for doctrine, for reproof, for training in righteousness. Why? Man of God may be complete, right? And so saying that God's word is perfected in you, and in here it's saying that that's what the purpose of the word is. It's to make you complete. There's constantly a process throughout our lives called sanctification that God is constantly making us more and more like Christ. Sanctification literally means to be set apart. But we're, you know, when we're saved, we're immediately set apart. You know, if you think about a jar of marble, right? Most marbles are black, right? There's a couple of white marbles, right? Those marbles are still marbles, right? But they're set apart from the rest. That's what sanctification literally means. But that process lasts throughout our life. We're never going to be in this life exactly like Christ. But God is constantly going to be working on us, making us more and more like Christ. That's what it means when the love of God is perfected in us. Then this is, the next part of this is pretty interesting. To walk as he walked, right? So how do you know you're saved? Well, first, you know, you uh, You're keeping his commandments, right? You are doing the to the best of your ability, and when you fail, you ask for forgiveness, but you are trying to do what Jesus told you to do. You are keeping his teachings, right? Then it talks about walking as he walked. In chapter 2, verse 6, it says, "He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked." And I was thinking about this. I'm like, well, how is this any different than what John was just saying? There's a progression here, if you notice. And so how can you do anything more than the whole word, right? Well, does the Bible say whether or not you should use a cell phone? Does it? No. There's a lot of things in this life that the Bible doesn't have specific answers on. But it's funny that a lot of times people say, you know, usually spiritually immature Christians say, well, the Bible doesn't literally say this, so it doesn't matter either way. Well, if you were maturing in your faith, you should be able to keep Jesus' commandments, keep what he teaches, and then understand the character of Christ through study in the Word, that you should know what decisions you should make in this life that would please God. Even if it doesn't literally say in the Bible, you can do this or this. There's a lot of things in our modern world that the Bible doesn't have specific answers for. But we see the character of Christ. And so I always think about that. This was like, what, in the early 2000s? The WWJD wristbands, right? What would Jesus do? That's true. We need to think about what Jesus would do in situations. And so when it's talking about walking as he walked, right? When you study the word and you see the way Jesus responded to the situation, you should respond in similar ways, right? When we think about this passage, walk as he walked, in the disciples' mindsets has so much deeper of a meaning here too. You see, in the time of Jesus, right, the discipleship process was very interesting. The education process was very interesting. So when you were a small child, right, pretty much all of the Hebrew children would go learn in the temple. And if they did really good, they would keep learning. If they didn't do well, the teacher would say, "Go to your father's work," right? Go to your father's work. But if they, you know, did do well, they would continue in that process. Now, when they were older, they would approach a rabbi. If they were continuing in school, they would approach a rabbi and want to follow. Excuse me. They want to follow that rabbi, and so they would approach him, and they would have studied his material, his interpretation of the Bible, right, to a T. And so the students could best understand those teachings. That rabbi would say, "Come, follow me," right? The Hebrew word there was lech harai, right? So they would say, "Come, follow me." Now, if he didn't want them to follow him, he would say again, "Go do your father's work," right? Basically, not good enough to learn to go do your trade, right? Now, what's interesting here is what Jesus did is totally different than that. So Jesus, as a rabbi, he went and sought out his disciples instead of them coming to him, and he called out to them. Did he say, "Come follow me," or "Come ye after me," right? Same thing that rabbis would normally say to their would-be disciples. Why is this so important? Well, those disciples that Jesus called were already doing a trade. They had most likely already been told, "Go do your father's work." But Jesus said, "Come follow me." Now these disciples are in a relationship with Christ. They were more than just disciples to him. They were his servants as well. Another interesting thing about discipleship, and this I'm tying this back in here, I promise. Another interesting thing about discipleship is when these disciples would follow their rabbi, they would try to copy that rabbi as best as they could. The whole purpose of that was every rabbi had their specific teachings. And so when that rabbi died, they wanted those teachings to live on. And so they would the disciple that would best copy that would be copying that rabbi's teachings. And so that disciple would become a rabbi. And so what these disciples would do is they would walk literally in the footsteps of the rabbi in front of them. They would walk so closely to their rabbi that they would be caked in his dust, right? And so when it's telling us here to walk as just as Jesus walked, right? We're disciples. We're perpetually disciples of Christ. We're never going to be the rabbi. We need to be following as closely as we possibly can. And so so much so that we're caked in his dust, right? That's how close we need to follow Christ. That's what we're supposed to be growing towards in our lives. But again, this is a continuous process. It's never going to be complete. Luke chapter 6, verse 40 says, a disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone who is perfectly trained, right, complete, will be like his teacher. And so what Jesus calls us to do is to continually be trained to be like him. That is our goal in life, is to be like Christ as we can. And so we follow his commandments. We follow his teachings, right? And we walk as he walked. We try to walk as close to Christ as we possibly can. Then John says here, that's interesting. So here's a bit of a transition in the next two verses. He says in verse 7, brethren, I write no new commandment to you, but an old commandment which you have heard from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you heard from the beginning. So what is this old commandment? Well, this would be, he is talking about the law here. This is the old commandment, right? If you understand, you have to understand the Ten Commandments, right? That's not actually 10 different commandments. It's one law, right? So that's why if you've broken one thing, you've broken the whole thing, because it's actually one law. And so when he says, you know, this old commandment, that's what he's talking about. And so what does Jesus say about this? In Matthew chapter 22, verses 36 through 40, this is pretty famous verses here. It says, these are the rabbis coming to Jesus asking him, what is the great commandment? Right? It says, teacher, what is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. So first of all, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. Right? Every fiber of your being should be loving God. Right? Then he says, the second is like it. You shall love the neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So everything in the Old Testament, all of the law and all of the prophets hang on those two things. Love God and love your neighbor. So when we're talking about the commandments that we need to follow, that's the basis of it, right? Love God, love your neighbor. If your heart is in the right place, you are loving God, all of the rest of that stuff should really fall into place. And so this leads me to the next point. So how do we know that we know him? By how you walk, right? Second part of this passage is by how you love. And so by how you walk and how you love. So now we see a new commandment. John talks about a new commandment. Now this is the first time this new commandment is mentioned, and we'll talk about that in a moment. 1 John chapter 2, verse 8. He says, again, new commandment I write to you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. So there's only one other time where it talks about a new commandment. And that's Jesus. Jesus talks about a new commandment. And funny enough, or, you know, this is perfectly enough that John is actually talking about the same exact subject matter is what Jesus says in John chapter 13, verses 35. Jesus says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Is this the same as when Jesus is saying, love your neighbor? No, it's not. Jesus is specifically talking to his disciples there. So yes, love God and love your neighbor, but also people will know that you are saved by how you love the brethren, right? By how you love other Christians, other believers. It's such an important thing. So this new commandment, right? John, in 1 John, is not talking, when he says again, he's not talking about what he had just previously written. He's talking about what Jesus said in John, in the book of John, not 1 John. So he's reminding us that we have to keep this as well. What he writes after this is hating versus loving your brother. Right? Hating versus loving your brother. You know, if we're saved individuals and you hate other church, if you say that you're saved, you hate going to church and you hate other Christians, you should question whether or not you're saved. Right? One of the first things that should change in you when you're saved is that you should desire to be with other believers. That's a very important thing. That's one of the first ways that you can, that you are a believer. Someone who I won't name right now, but some of you here know who I'm talking about, but talking on the phone with her, and she was talking about how she went on this work trip, and it was with different people, and all she could think, she's recently saved, and all she could think about was that she wanted to be at church. She didn't feel comfortable with work people anymore, the ones that were not living according to Christ, some of them not even saved, but she wanted to be with her new church congregation. She wanted to be fellowshipping with other believers. That is such an awesome thing to hear as a pastor, because it's like, you get it. You get it, right? It's awesome to see God changing someone's desires for the better, right? And so, if we go on here in Scripture, 1 John chapter 2, verses 9 through 10, it says, he who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there's no cause for stumbling in him. Such an awesome thing. And this is really the whole point of the book of 1 John, right? Or one of the main points of the book of 1 John. 1 John is talking about how you know you're saved, and he's also talking about that we need to love the brethren, right? We need to love other believers. It's funny how a lot of people forget this sometimes. Just look at church attendance nowadays. A lot of people are forgetting they're supposed to be loving, especially being with other believers, right? It's such a hard thing, and I'm not just talking about our church. Talking about all over the place. People just don't see the need to congregate anymore. It's really sad. It's really sad. John, this is so important that John reiterates this in 1 John chapter 4, verses 20 through 21. It says, if someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him. He who loves God must love his brother also. John makes it really obvious and actually makes a lot of sense. If you can't love your brother, right, see right in front of you, how are you supposed to have faith to love God who you can't see? Kind of interesting. It's like you can't do the thing that should be easier, right? How can you expect to do the thing that's harder? So we need to love our brethren. John ends this passage here, or the paragraph here, with kind of a interesting downer of a sentence, but he says that those that hate the brethren, they're in darkness, they're walking in darkness, and they're blinded. 1 John chapter 2, verse 11 says, "But he who hates his brother is in darkness, walks in darkness, and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes." Such a powerful thing to say. Because darkness, a lot of times, is representative of sin in the Bible. But it's also, he's talking about, you know, not knowing where you're going. So first of all, if you hate your brother, you're in darkness, right? So you're still in sin. If you're hating the brethren, you're in sin, right? You're in the wrong. Saying you're walking in darkness, right? So you're living your life in darkness. When he's talking about walking, he's talking about living your life. But also, it's interesting here, if you think walking a path, right? Imagine walking a path in darkness. That's a very hard thing to do, especially if you don't have a light, right? But he plays on that here. He says, and does not know where he is going because darkness has blinded his eyes. What does David say in Psalms? He says, your word is a light unto my path and a lamp unto my feet, right? So if there's darkness all around, you need God's word. John is talking about a very similar thing here. See, people in this world that are so filled with hate, right? People that are lost, right? And don't understand God's word. They're blinded by darkness. A lot of times they have no idea that they're on the way to hell. That's a very sad thing. Darkness has blinded their eyes. And so it's the same thing with someone who hates the brethren, right? If they claim that they're Christian, they're completely blinded by darkness. For that is repentance and studying in God's word, right? People that don't like being with other Christians, right? What they really need to do kind of is read 1 John, right? 1 John will whip that out of them most of the time. I hope so. So how can we know that we're saved, right? Now, again, it's not a recipe for how to be saved. This is for saved individuals to understand that they're followers of Christ. We see the difference there, right? So how do you know that you are a follower of Christ? Well, by how you walk, right? You're walking according to God's word, right? Walking according to Jesus' commandments, his teachings, and walking the way that he would walk, okay? The next way is by how you love, specifically how you love the brethren. We need to love God, love our neighbor, but also we need to love the brethren. Jesus says that all will know that you are my disciples by how you love one another. So test yourself this morning. In conclusion, as the pianist and song leader come, I want you to test yourself. If you're thinking about this morning, well, ask a question, okay? Well, are you living in sin or are you trying to avoid it? It's a good question to ask. If you're asking if you're a believer, are you living in sin or are you trying to avoid it, right? Are you walking in darkness or are you walking in the light? Are you keeping God's word, right? Keeping means to guard it, right? It's precious to you. Again, we all fail, but are you trying to keep God's word? Are you trying to walk as Christ walked? Do you love God? It's a very simple question. Do you love God? If you don't love God, you're not a Christian. I'm sorry. Do you love your neighbor? Do you love the brethren? Ask yourself those questions this morning, right? And if you're lacking in one of those, I'm not going to say that you're not saved, but fix that. You should have something inside you that should be give you a desire to fix those things. If you're not loving your neighbor, right, well, fix it. If you're not loving the other, fix it, right? Repent. If you're here this morning and you have never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I invite you to do that now. Repent and believe. And so we talked about that basically if you claim to be a believer, how you know that you are saved is all of those things. But the simple reality of how to be saved now is two things. Repent of your sins and believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. He came and died on a cross for all of our sins. If you believe in that morning and you believe that you are a sinner and you need it, right, then call out to him and repent and believe, and he will save you. We have security of the believer. You can never lose that. You see, it might give the wrong impression this morning sometimes where we're talking about how you know you're saved. Well, there are times where we have doubts, but that does not change your destination. Why? Because you do not hold your salvation. Jesus holds your salvation. And so Jesus says that we're in his hand and we're in his Father's hand, right? Paul also talks about nothing can separate us from God, right? He talks about any created thing, which includes us, ourselves. We cannot separate ourselves from the love of God. And so understand this morning that once you accept him, you will be saved. You can't lose that. We're saved forever, right? And so turn to Jesus this morning, accept him as your Lord and Savior, and your eternal destination will be heaven and dwelling with Jesus Christ.